All right, we'll start session four for our Christian ethics. As a reminder, our definition for ethics is that we are determining what's right from wrong based on the unchanging, holy character of Almighty God. He doesn't change. Everything that He does is the same. And so our question now would be, how do I make this mine? How do I make this idea of ethics mine? And I would encourage you to use a code of ethics. The guys have passed out a document that looks like this, single page. I hope that you have an opportunity to have a look at this. This is a, we might call this a sample. This would be a place from which you could start. You're welcome to add to it, take away from it. It's a, you might call it a living document. This is not, thus saith the Lord, all right? I don't want us to ever get to the point where you say, well, we have the code of ethics and it's our constitution and it's like our hymnal and it's like the Bible. No, this is a guide for your life, a practical guide for your life. And the good news is, as you review it, and I would recommend, review it monthly. Fold it up, put it in the back of your Bible, and once a month, pull it out, read through it, and just go, am I doing this or am I not doing this? And if you're not, then you realize, oh, you know what? This says that I'm going to, and maybe yours says, I'm going to fast every day, but my doctor told me I shouldn't be fasting. Okay, well then you can scratch that one, change it. There's nothing that says thou shalt and thou shalt not, but instead these are a guide to help you. So a code of ethics, codes of ethics are used throughout a lot of industries. Perhaps the one you might be most familiar with would be the medical community. Doctors take a code of ethics. One of the things that they say, doctors say in their code of ethics, is that they will, you maybe you've heard this phrase, do no harm, right? And so a doctor will have someone come in, and the only reason he will amputate the leg is if that leg is going to kill the person. If he doesn't, take the leg. So a doctor does not just electively cut your leg off, all right? So his goal is do no harm, and that comes from the doctor's code of ethics. Attorneys have codes of ethics. You go to an attorney and tell him, hey, I'm a mass murderer. He's not supposed to take care of you in court. That's a code of ethics. There are things that... The code is just an outline. This is the way that I'm going to act. There are some denominations that have them. I would suggest that definitely every pastor have one. If you're in a position of leadership, especially within our church, I would encourage you, look it over, have a look at it. Maybe it can be a part for you. We have this draft code of ethics, and so let me just walk through it, and then after we walk through it, we'll see if you have any questions. There's four major parts: a preamble. Preamble just means this is our opening statement. You could say introduction, head talk. Here you go, preamble. As a minister in Capital City Baptist Church and its ministries, whether paid or volunteer, I realize that I'm called to maintain a visible standard of uprightness. I hope you caught that. As a leader, you say, I'm just a volunteer. All I do is clean the bathrooms. Yes, but you're seen as a leader. You're leading with service. And you should live a life that's upright, and it needs to be visible. I hereby voluntarily embrace the following ethical code as a matter of self-discipline. This code is intended to serve as a reminder to myself and as I grow in my spiritual walk, I may add items in the years to come. I'll just say this, my personal code of ethics is 5 pages long. You don't have to have 5 pages long, but mine covers a lot of areas that yours wouldn't. There are certain people I just won't marry. They might be good people. I'm not going to marry them. It's in my code of ethics. My code of ethics says that I will do 6 weeks of counseling before I marry a young couple. Recently, had a young couple come and ask me if I would do their wedding 1 month out. Well, that's not 6 weeks. Because I had a code of ethics already pre-thought and already worked out, I even went to our pastoral staff and asked them, hey guys, this is what my code of ethics says. This is what they'd like me to do. What do you think about this? They said, Pastor, if you try to squeeze 6 weeks of counseling into 4 weeks, your whole next month is going to be wrecked. And I went, you guys have wisdom. Thank you. I'll just stick with the code of ethics. Those things don't have to be in your code of ethics, but there might be things in your life that aren't in my life. And so it's personal. So we start with a personal conduct. How would you act personally? And I'll just kind of walk through these. Some of these we've talked about them already. I'll strive to keep myself healthy and rested so as to avoid issues brought on by hunger and irritability. You've heard the phrase, that guy is hangry. You know what hangry is, right? Hangry is I'm hungry and angry at the same time. He's hangry. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but if you allow yourself to get to a point where you are hungry and you let that affect your body, now all of a sudden you're angry. You ask yourself, why am I angry? Oh, it's because I'm hungry. Well, are you hungry or are you angry? Not hangry. And maybe I'm going to be irritable because I didn't get enough sleep. You know you have to get up for work on Monday morning. It would just make sense to not stay up all night on Sunday night. Hey, even the world knows this. Did you notice that the world will go drinking on Friday night? And they say, if you do it on Sunday night, you're a fool. The world's got that figured out. So I'll avoid unhealthy lifestyle so that I can perform well. I'll live within my means and avoid debt, for he that is a borrower is servant to the lender. We mentioned this a few weeks ago, but can you just imagine if the pastor lived in debt, now all of a sudden he's going to be tempted to handle things that aren't his, use them for his own personal gain, and that could be traced back to not living within his means. Third one, I'll be honest in my financial dealings, not misrepresenting my abilities or any goods, new or used, that I sell. So just think with me, you've got an old car, it's an old clunker, but the engine is destroyed and it clack, 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 clack. But you go and get the magic oil and pour it down inside. Hey, I know this one. I do know this one. If the belt is squeaking on your truck, and it, beep, 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 beep. If you get a bar of soap and just run the bar of soap while it's running, you put it on the belt, it'll stop squeaking for about an hour. And then the squeak comes back. So if you know that somebody's going to be looking at your vehicle and it won't quit squeaking, and you've already asked and the mechanic said it's going to be 2,000 kina to replace that bearing, and you just go out there with a bar of soap, you have misrepresented the thing that you're selling. That's unethical. Essentially, you've passed off your problem as though it's not a problem. And we're to be ethical. I'm to be honest. I will provide for my family's physical and spiritual needs, and I'll pay attention to my relationship with my spouse. I'm not going to put that on the back burner. I'm going to make that priority. I'll not show favoritism to people based on their age or their gender or their race. I'm going to conduct myself. Second one, letter B, the second part, my conduct towards my church. How should I interact with the people in my church? I'll place a weekly importance on the gathering of the church body and corporate worship. Let me just state this here. If you are in a position of leadership, you're in the pastoral staff, you're a part of bus driving, you're a part of the cleaning crew, you're a teacher in the school, you cut the grass. If you're here as a part of leadership, the church gathering is priority in your life. That we said it during spiritual disciplines at the beginning of the year, the gathering of the church is the most important moment of the entire week. I don't just say that because I'm the pastor. I pour in the energy that I do into that gathering at the beginning of every week. I do that because I believe it's the most important for you. So I don't want you to come and waste your time. And so we have a weekly importance on that gathering. Second, I will exhibit Christian love towards my fellow church members, and I'll esteem each of them better than myself. I'll place an emphasis on the word of Scripture, and it will be the final authority in matters of faith and practice. I'll not violate the confidence that's placed in me in counseling. Should there be a need to report the matter, I will do so in an ethical manner, and I will inform the person who has shared the matter with me. Let me pause there because I think that this is important. Some of you have done counseling with our young people at youth camp. Every once in a while at youth camp, a young person will bring forward a matter that needs to be reported. We've had that happen a few times in our youth camps. The matter comes to you as a counselor, and then they say, what I'm about to tell you, please don't tell anybody else. Well, natural, normal counseling setting, it would already be confidential. However, if it's a reportable matter, it's a legal reportable matter, there's actually going back the other direction. There are legal ramifications if you don't report. If you are told in a counseling session that there has been child abuse happening and you keep that to yourself and you don't report it, you can also be legally charged and implicated with being a part of that situation. So there's some things that you have to report. If someone says in a counseling session, what I'm about to tell you, please don't tell anybody else, the best thing for you to do in that moment is to let them know, I'm going to do my best to maintain confidentiality. However, there are some things that need to be reported. And if it's a big enough deal, we will probably go to, and feel free to throw that on my shoulders, we'll probably end up going to Pastor Matt about this. After you hear the matter and you realize, oh, it's not as big a deal as what they said, you're welcome to tell them, I don't think we need to take this any further. We can leave it here. If, however, it needs to go on, don't walk out of the counseling and tell them, it's okay, I'm keeping it confidential, and you walk out and you tell it. That's unethical. So if you need to report it, they need to know before you report it. Number five, I'll prioritize service to the Lord and to His people above salary or remuneration. We call that service above salary. I don't remember if I shared this with you last week. I had a funeral, a young lady, wonderful young lady, that the family asked me to do their funeral a couple of weeks ago. Did all the arrangements, everything's ready. And then the day before, the family called me and they said, Pastor, we forgot to ask you, what do you charge to do the funeral? I'm thankful that they asked. I did the funeral because it's a young lady that I cared about. I did the funeral because there's going to be a room full of people that are going to hear the gospel. This is service above salary. I literally told them, I want nothing. Don't give me anything. Don't give me money for my fuel. I don't want anything. I'm coming to share the gospel with people that need it. Service above salary. Letter C. My conduct towards other ministers. And so if you're a pastor, it would be to other pastors. And you're serving within the body, within the ministry, how do you conduct yourself towards others? Publicly and privately praise the work of fellow ministers, even if it is difficult to find good things to say about them. You remember that adage when you were a child? Did your mom ever say it to you? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Even if it's difficult to find something nice, I'm going to speak well of others. I'm not going to tear them down. I'll not enter into gossip about them. I will speak well of my predecessors. How easy. This is low-hanging fruit. If you come into a new position and you see that the ones who did it before you did it in a different way or a wrong way, it is low-hanging fruit to walk in and say, well, here I am. I'm the gift to this ministry and I'm going to fix all the problems. That's a wrong way to act. Because what you're doing when you do that, when you talk bad about those who came before you, what you end up doing is you end up elevating yourself. You're not esteeming anyone. This is an unethical way to act. And so we won't talk poorly about those who came before us. Number four, I'll consider other ministers as co-laborers in the work of the Lord. And I'm going to be appreciative of the work they do. Sometimes it's helpful if you tell them that you appreciate it. That can go a long way. Lastly, my conduct towards the community. I'll strive to be an upright citizen in our community, seeking the good of our city. I hope you picked that up in my sermon this morning. I love this city. I hate when I see things that are done incorrectly, but I love this city. And I want to see God do things in this city. Maybe it needs to happen at the administrative level or the executive level. I don't know where. But man, I want to see God do good things here. And so I'm not going to go through life trying to undermine and get my own way. Instead, I'm going to look for the good of this city. And how can I help it? Second, I will not entertain any partisan politics within the context of our church. So again, we're speaking the church And how does the church, I as a church, interact with the outside? I'm not going to entertain any partisan politics within the church. I'll not prioritize a friendship at the risk of belief or conviction. In other words, I still hold to the gospel. He might be my friend, but I'm not going to place my friendship with him above the gospel. That's quite easy to do if I want to hold his friendship. Oh, maybe, example, maybe he's Muslim. And I know that he doesn't want to hear what the Word of God has to say. But the reason I'm going to do what I'm going to do is because of what the Scripture says. I'm not going to choose to go his route. And it would be easy if I prioritize my friendship with him. It would be easy for me to say, well, I know the Bible says this, but you're my friend, so I'm going to go this direction. That'd be easy to do. The hard thing, the ethical thing to do is to say, I'm sorry, but we're going to disagree on this. And if he's a real friend anyway, he's going to appreciate the fact that you hold to your convictions. I'm not going to follow through with this because there's a way that I'm supposed to live. And so I'm going to prioritize the Word of God over my friendship. And then lastly, I will obey the laws of the government so long as they are not in opposition to the laws of the Lord. And so I'm going to follow the law of the land. This is a sample code of ethics that you're welcome to take it wholeheartedly as is. You're welcome to add to it, subtract from it. This is not the Word of God. You're allowed to add and take away from this one. This is also, I want to caution that this is not to be added as some type of legalistic way that this makes you more spiritual if you have a code of ethics. It doesn't make you more spiritual. This just gives you a way in your own self-discipline to stop and pause and look and say, yes, I do these things, or I need to pull up my socks in this area. And so there's a need for this in my life, and perhaps it can be a help for yours. Does anyone have any questions? I want to leave space for questions, and I'll give one practical question when we get done. Does anybody have any questions, perhaps this or the previous lessons that we've walked through? Jerry's got a question.
When a pastor or somebody's in leadership, and when, let's talk about social media. When somebody throws a bait on a subject, or maybe a pastor push it up, or the other fellow on the other side put it up. And here are these leaders, they are talking about it, everybody's watching, and they are putting up big theological words on this thing, and people are watching. How will these ethic things apply to that situation?
And so I want to answer that question carefully, keeping in mind that I don't want to speak ill of those who have come before. Okay? And so without stepping into gossip, I think what I'll do is I'll use Pastor Eric and myself as an example. Pastor Eric put together a WhatsApp group some months ago. You mind if I share this? Pastor Eric put together a WhatsApp group a few months ago, and the idea was it would be a place for pastors to come together and discuss these deeper theological questions. Ones that you could see somebody on one side, or someone good is on one side, someone good is on the other side. And he put the WhatsApp group together like that, and I think it was up for maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Is that about right? I kind of found it to be very intriguing. And I say that because it gave me an opportunity to think deeply, at times to have to go and research and find what does the Scripture actually say about this. And it, because it was a closed group, we didn't have the, if you want to say, embarrassment of those who don't follow and study at this level. It kept that to the side. I thought it was a great idea. Unfortunately, it became what it wasn't intended to be. And as soon as Pastor Eric saw that, he closed the group. He just, gentlemen, my love and my care, and I care about you more deeply than I care about knowing how we disagree. And so closed it down. I thought there was a lot of wisdom in that. Social media has made a bit of a pendulum swing now. Now, when you say the word social media, it almost takes a negative connotation, widespread. And for that reason, a lot of people are moving away from social media. Perhaps you've seen this happen. The danger with social media is that anybody... Let me back it up. How many of you went to grade one? Let me see your hand. When you were in grade one, do you remember there was a kid in your class that whenever he spoke, everybody kind of looked at him and went, huh? You remember? You know what I'm talking about? If you don't remember that kid in your class, it was you. Here's what social media has done. Social media has given a voice to that guy. And so whenever you look through social media now and you end up coming across these wacky statements, it's the guy in grade one that wasn't allowed to talk because he always said the wrong thing. Now he has the permission to talk on social media, and he ends up saying some really wacky things. To use your word, Jerry, I think it would be wise to watch out, because sometimes that's just bait. And it's just wise to just step back from the conversation. I'll admit, sometimes I've fallen for the bait, me personally. Pastor Eric has been a phenomenal input to my life. There have been times when I've written out what I want to say. I've sent it to him and asked him, if I say this, will it be understood? And he's written back to me, it's probably better that you don't say anything at all. I'm thankful for a brother like that that would speak into my life. For that reason, coming back to the social media thing, there's wise, there's expedient, perhaps sometimes there's a false doctrine that's being purported, and speaking into that would be important. But if, and this is whether a pastor or anyone, if the point of saying something on social media is to gain people's amen or like, then the whole reason of making the post becomes about me, at which point it's the wrong direction. Is that helpful? Great question. Thank you. Anybody else? No other questions? You help me and finish the statement. Christian ethics is determining right from wrong based on the unchanging, holy character of who? Almighty God. We base that on Him. As He is holy, so are we also to be holy. Here's my practical question. So you've taken this practical code of ethics and you've made it as your own. A year from now, you find out that the code of ethics that you promised to yourself is not sufficient. You go, wait a second, I need to add something in number 6. What should you do? If you want to add something to your code of ethics, what should you do? Should you come and ask the pastoral staff? Go and find it in the Bible. What should you do? Anybody? Paul?
I'm discussing it with my wife.
Amen, brother. That's the right answer. Naomi, did you hear that? He said he'd discuss it with his wife. Every time, that's the right answer. Yes, sir. You and your wife have both determined. This is a good thing. What can you do? Amen. Pray about it. Yes. And then, get your pen out, write down number 6, and put it on there. And if you needed to erase a different one, get your pen out and mark it off. All right? It's a living document. This is not the Word of God. It's just to help you with your own self-discipline. Father, thank you for our brothers and sisters. Thank you for the time that we've been able to spend together walking through these ethics classes. I pray that you would help us to live rightly, live holy, even as you are holy. And I pray that we would do well, be a good shining example to a lost world. Lord, I pray that we would walk uprightly, circumspectly, and encouraging one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. Have a blessed week.